Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. You just trust. Believe.
A Knock at the Door in the Dead of Night by Snuggle Kitten. I live in an apartment block that was built back in the 80s. It doesn't have much of a history, and we're the first owners of the flat, or my nan and granddad were, to be exact. Not even a pet has died in this place. Even so, ever since I was a little kid, I've felt some kind of presence here. But since I didn't live here for most of my life, I just eventually chalked it all up to a kid's imagination. Until recently, that is. This happened about a year ago. I had just gotten home from work and headed to the kitchen to make myself a late dinner. When I'm cooking, I usually put on a show or a podcast in the background and wear headphones so I don't bother anyone with the noise. That night, I was listening to some story when I suddenly thought that I heard a noise over my headphones. I paused the video and listened properly. Sure enough, there was a knock at the front door. It was about 2 a.m, a bit late to be asking to borrow some salt. Besides, they were banging on it with enough force to break the door down. I should probably mention that our town's a bit rough. We've got migrants, addicts, and alcoholics living nearby. Because of that, we tend to keep to ourselves and don't really know any of them. So it's pretty unlikely anyone would be coming to us for help at that time of night. Still, I held out hope that it was just one of our neighbors. We helped one of them out once because they lost their keys, but I knew for a fact that he had been dead for over a year. I walked closer to the door. Now, if it was a person trying to get my attention, they wouldn't just be knocking, they'd be ringing the doorbell as well, right? Except nobody was ringing the bell. And as I got closer, the banging got more frantic. And then all of a sudden, I got this incredibly strong feeling that it was my nan at the door. I could see it so clearly in my head, her standing there, all sleepy in her white nightie, just waiting for me to open up. but I knew for a fact that Nan was home already. She had gotten back around 10:30, and she was fast asleep. I didn't get any closer. I didn't look through the peephole. I just had this feeling that I would see my Nan. But it wouldn't be my Nan, you know? I went back to the kitchen to try and calm myself down. I put my headphones back in, pressed play on the video, and pretended like nothing was happening. After a bit, I started to think that it had gone quiet. I took my headphones off, and yes, there was nothing but silence. No one was knocking. I finished up what I was doing and went to my room. That night, I didn't go near the front door. I didn't even go to the bathroom, which is right beside it. The knocking came back after a while. It happened a few more times. But the second I stopped being scared, it would go quiet. The last time it happened, it only lasted a few seconds because I just told myself I wasn't scared of it. The whole pattern seemed pretty weird, so I decided to tell my Nan about it. That's when she told me that a woman used to live in the flat next door who died quite some time ago. There was something strange about her because after she died, every tenant who moved into that flat either suffered or died. The neighbor that we helped out was living in her old flat. Nan said that she thought it was that woman, her spirit. She told me to call out to her if I ever heard the knocking again, but I never have.
Stories from Helltown by Aaron. I'm currently living in Ohio, but this story is from when I lived in a Northern Virginia town called Front Royal. Fun and relevant side note, we all called it Helltown because it's exit 6 off Route 66. I come from a very devout Catholic family, and I do think a lot of what I experienced there is tied to that faith in some way. I'm not Catholic anymore. Honestly, my time in that town and the people I met there were a big part of why I left. These days, I lean more agnostic, but I still believe in something after death. This all started when I was about 12 years old, around 22 years ago. My parents moved my three younger brothers and me from Ohio to Virginia so my mom could work for my uncle's construction company. We moved into a small, single-story home with three bedrooms, hardwood floors, a creepy attic, and a giant backyard. A large part of my family lived in this tiny town, and almost all of them belonged to the same church. Everybody knew everybody. My uncle, the one who owned the construction company, had actually been training to become a priest before he met my aunt. He stayed a devout Catholic and decided to confront the demons he said had troubled him earlier in life, all while raising 8 kids and running a business. My experiences with the paranormal started in his house. My cousins told me what they saw and heard: bumps in the night, scratches on the walls, shadow figures, and strange outbursts of behavior from relatives. Classic oppression-type activity. I don't remember the exact order these events happened in, but they all took place during the 2 years we lived there. The red eyes. One night, I was babysitting my brothers. The TV was on, ramen was eaten, it was almost bedtime. Suddenly, my brother, the oldest of the younger three, lost it. He said there was a large figure with red eyes standing in our backyard. The eyes were level with his, except our back door had 4 or 5 steps leading down. Whatever he saw would have had to have been at least 7 feet tall. He said he felt terror. My brother was only 2 years younger than me. And at that age, there was no reason he'd run to me for protection unless he was genuinely terrified. We locked the doors and sat there for hours, feeling watched. My mom told us to pray until she came home. The poltergeist. Stuff always happened in that house. Things flew off shelves. Items went missing. Electrical problems popped up in specific places. The bathroom, my parents' room, the crawl space, but especially the kitchen. One day, I was home alone with the same brother. We were playing cards when we heard a huge crash in the kitchen. We went to look. All of our aluminum cans, the ones meant for recycling, were now stacked into a perfect pyramid on the kitchen floor. We screamed and ran back to the bedroom, only to find our deck of cards gone. We eventually found them tucked between the mattress and the box spring, something neither of us had time to do. We were together the whole time. For years, we thought it happened because we had faked sick to get out of church, and somehow we deserved it. Now I know we were just kids getting messed with by something. Another day, my dad and I were watching TV when a jar of change sitting above the kitchen sink suddenly tipped over. Instead of just spilling, the coins blasted across the dining room like a shotgun, a full 10 feet. That one scared my dad pretty badly, even if he didn't admit it. The shadow figures. My dad was a hardcore atheist, married to my devout Catholic mother for 12 years, and never once entertained anything religious or paranormal. Despite that, he had one experience he couldn't explain. For about a year, I kept seeing flickers of movement out of the corner of my eye. Friends refused to come over because the house gave them bad vibes. You could always feel eyes on you. But one night, my dad was sitting alone on the couch after everyone had went to bed. He told me this story years later. He saw a thick black fog crawling across the floor toward him. When it reached him, it rose up and almost formed into a human shape. Its head came right up into his face and made a sound he described as an inverted scream. Then it shot upward and vanished into the ceiling. After that, he never doubted me again when I said I saw things. The painting. This one is, in my opinion, the worst. If you know Catholics, you know the Divine Mercy painting. Jesus in white or gold robes, right hand raised, left hand on his heart, rays of red and blue light coming from him. My experience with it happened at my uncle's house. We were helping them move furniture when the painting somehow fell off the wall. It was supposed to be anchored. The frame broke, so my aunt decided to keep the picture and toss the frame. But when she pulled the picture out, she flipped it over, and on the back was a detailed painting full of different symbols of the occult. At first glance, it looked like Halloween art. Jack-o'-lanterns, a witch, a full moon, three white rabbits, a black cat. But the more we looked, the clearer it became that this was not some child's drawing. The detail was way beyond anything anyone in our family could have done. Some of my family believes that picture was a curse. I don't know. But my uncle had a long history of intense demonic encounters during his time training to be a priest. And now he's gone, so I can't ask him for more. I don't want to say what we experienced was full-on demonic oppression. Nothing ever turned violently extreme. My uncle stayed in contact with church authorities, including a bishop and a few exorcists, but nothing official ever happened. The activity just faded out once we moved back to Ohio. But our time in that town was awful. My parents divorced. My uncle's company went bankrupt. My father developed a drinking problem that eventually led to his death. I still don't subscribe to any Christian denomination, but I believe in evil. I believe some entities can appear demonic by definition, and I've accepted that I'll never get answers about what really happened in that small town. Anyone who knows anything hasn't talked about it in years. Is the litter box the worst thing about having a cat? Of course it is. Nobody has seemed to solve that problem until now. The solution is Boxy. The Pro in Boxy Pro stands for probiotics, which stop the bacteria that cause odors, so you never smell the litter box again. Boxy Pro keeps the box continuously odor-free, infinitely. Not just for a week or two, it stays odor-free. Just remember to scoop. It clumps together so beautifully too, making scooping so much easier. You never have to dump out the whole litter box either, just top it off. Your cat, or army of cats, won't smell anything either. No fake scents to detract them from using the box. I'm glad I switched to Boxy, and so is my feline family. Give Boxy a shot. If you're tired of switching litters looking for the one, get Boxy at boxiecat.com. It's the last litter you'll switch to. Enjoy 30% off with code TRAILS at boxiecat.com/trails. That's boxiecat.com/trails.
I Can't Figure It Out by Flashy Turnip 5146. I've been thinking about this for about a week now. I have tried talking to people around me, but nobody thinks that it's as crazy as I do. See, I was in the grocery store last Saturday. It was a really busy night. It was dinner time. I had 3 items to get. I was walking on the back side of the aisles. Our self-checkout is at the beginning of aisle 6, the egg and cheese aisle. I get my 3 items, then proceed to walk down aisle 6, and I see that the line for self-checkout is halfway down the aisle. Multiple people, back to back, standing in line. I can tell that every register at self-checkout is full at that moment, so I decide I'm going to go and check out the regular lines to see if they're any shorter. I walk up aisle 7 to do so. The lines are no better. I thought in that moment, no way, I'd rather just do self-checkout. So I turn around and go back to aisle 6, and everyone is gone. There's no one there, not a soul in sight. No one in line, no one in the aisle at all. There were now only 2 people in self-checkout. Feeling like I was slightly crazy, I turn and do a 360 in the middle of the store, and I'm thinking, where did everyone go? I was able to walk right into the self-checkout and pay. There is no way that another register was opened in the 10 seconds that it took me to walk to the front. No other lanes were open. There was no way all those people just cleared out before I could walk to the front. I was extremely confused, and I still am. Everyone that I talk to about it just doesn't think it's as crazy as I do. I'm convinced it was some kind of glitch. Where did everyone go? It's absolutely not possible.
A Sunday Morning Guest by Lauren. I've always believed in spirits and guardian angels. Both of my parents never attempted to disprove their existence to me. Just to preface, my actual childhood home wasn't believed to be haunted. This story was an isolated incident. One Sunday morning, when I was around 10, we were all getting ready for church. I was ready earlier than my parents, so I went to our living room to watch music videos. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw a figure cross the dining room and walk through the kitchen. Then I heard the door to the garage open and close. The figure was tall, wearing a top hat and a suit. I walked the same path the figure had and opened the door to the garage to peer inside. I yelled, "Dad?" and received an eerie silence back. I didn't feel scared though, just curious. Later that week, my dad was going through a photo album he had found. There was a Polaroid of a child and a tall, slim man wearing a light-colored suit and top hat. I asked my dad who he was. My dad responded, "Oh, that's Grandpa. He only wore that outfit to church or other fancy occasions. Otherwise, he was never dressed up." My face must have drained of color, because he asked if I was okay. I told him, "I think I saw Grandpa in our house last Sunday." My dad didn't seem surprised. He commented that he was likely paying us a visit to check in, since I was growing up. My grandpa died when my dad was only 20. I think it brought my dad some peace, knowing he possibly visited to witness some of what my dad had achieved in his adult years. I also think that's why the figure didn't frighten me. There was a familiarity to him. I haven't seen him again, though. Maybe he just needed that one visit.
Cold mornings and holiday plans are usually when I realize whether my wardrobe is actually working or not. I want things that are comfortable, warm, and still look put together without having to think too hard about it. That's why Quince has become such an easy go-to for me. I now have a Quince collection of cashmere sweaters that I cycle through anytime I go out during the chilly season. I love them a lot because they hold up. They never lose their shape, and they still look good, even after a lot of wear. I had never actually owned a cashmere sweater before signing up with Quince, and now I'm addicted. I didn't know that a sweater could feel so good. What I like about Quince is that they focus on the essentials that every guy actually needs. They've got some really great pieces, like Italian wool coats, denim, and chinos, that all really fit the way that you'd expect them to. Their outerwear lineup is solid as well. Down jackets, wool top coats, and even leather styles that feel built to last, not disposable. Everything is made of premium materials by trusted factories that meet high standards for craftsmanship and ethical production. And because Quince cuts out the middlemen and traditional retail markups, you get that same quality that you'd expect from luxury brands, just without paying the luxury prices. It's stuff you actually want to wear, and it holds up season after season, which makes it an easy win. Whether you're upgrading your own closet or grabbing presents that don't feel like a gamble. Get your wardrobe sorted and your gift list handled with Quince. Don't wait. Go to quince.com/trails for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/trails. Free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/trails. Weird Lights Across the Street by Need Answer Please 87. Something strange has been happening with my neighbor lately, and I need to write it out. It's not paranormal, at least I don't think it is, but it's strange in a way that makes my skin crawl. I live on a quiet cul-de-sac. Nothing exciting happens here. People mow their lawns, wave at each other, and that's about it. Across the street is a woman named Anne. She's friendly, maybe mid-60s. We've chatted a few times, but just surface-level neighbor stuff. I moved here around 9 months ago for work. I live alone in one half of a duplex. A couple of months ago, I woke up at around 1:30 in the morning and I noticed her house lit up like a stadium. Every light was on. Kitchen, bedrooms, porch, even the attic window. 13 minutes later, they all turned off at the same time. The next night, same thing. Lights on at 1:37 sharp. Lights off at 1:50 sharp. At first, I thought it had to be timers. But who puts every single light on a timer, including the attic? And why exactly 13 minutes? After several nights of this, I asked her about it. She smiled, but in this stiff way said, "Oh, they're on a timer to make it look like someone's home." Then she immediately changed the subject. That answer should have been fine, but it still bothered me. It sounded rehearsed and weird, the way that she delivered it. I started watching more closely and staying up late to watch her house every night. And every night the lights came on at exactly the same time. And I began to notice shadows moving inside. Not random movement either. It always happens in the same order. One figure walks across an upstairs window, left to right. Another figure stays still for a while. And then another one walks back. Over and over, it's the same pattern. It looked less like people living in a house and more like people performing a scene. And as far as I know, Anne is living alone. At least, I've never seen anyone in her house during the day other than herself. Last week, I got binoculars, and I know it sounds weird, but I just needed to see. Through the upstairs window, I could see Anne just standing there. She was standing there in a nightgown, facing out toward the street. But she wasn't moving. Not looking at her phone, not drinking anything, not even pacing. Just standing still in the same place like a statue the whole time the lights were on and staring out the window. At 1:50 exactly, the lights all went off. I have no idea what's happening over there. It could be something completely normal, but my brain is turning it into a horror story. The precision of it, the shadows moving like they're on a loop, the way that she answered me when I asked, it all just doesn't feel right. I don't really want to talk about it to any of the other neighbors because I realize how the whole situation sounds. So what should I do? Am I just being paranoid? Anyone ever heard of something similar?
Apparitions by Val. When I was little, my parents' room was on the main floor, and my brothers and mine were both upstairs. Right when you got to the top of the stairs, my door was directly to the left. The foot of my bunk beds was straight in front of the door. One night, I woke up to see my dad at the top of the stairs in my doorway, staring at me with the creepiest smile. He always did that to scare me. He was such a prankster. I said, "Dad, what are you doing? I'm trying to sleep." He didn't stop smiling or say a word. He just slowly crouched down on the floor without taking his eyes off me and slowly crawled under my bed. I started crying and telling him to stop, that I didn't like it. I was too afraid to move, and he had never done anything like this before, so I started screaming for my parents, for both of them. The hall light flicked on fast, and my dad ran up the stairs with my mom right behind him. I told them what happened, and they searched everywhere, but there was no sign of anyone. I slept in my little brother's bed the rest of that night, and to this day, I have no idea what I saw, but it was a spitting image of my dad. Another time, during winter, I was playing alone in our backyard. There was a small, steep hill with twiggy little trees growing on it. Over the back of the hill were old railroad tracks that weren't in use anymore. I was near the top of the hill when I saw a little girl just standing there. I said hi and asked her if she wanted to play. She didn't seem scary at all, so I'm not even sure my young brain ever thought ghost. Without a word, she walked over the hill. I climbed up a few feet to look over and tell her she didn't need to go. But she was gone. Absolutely no sign of her. I went inside and told my mom. I can't remember her reaction, other than telling me to stay inside and play. But I remember trying to talk to her whenever I went outside. I never saw her again, though. My last story happened at my Nana's house. It's old, and it's definitely haunted. But everyone just says it's my uncle, who died when he was only 5. I used to sleep over pretty regularly growing up, and it was always terrifying. As I got older, I would sleep on the couch and watch TV until I drifted off. One night, I woke up to the TV still on, playing some church infomercial type of show. But it was the feeling that something was behind me, standing in the entrance of the room, that really woke me up. I froze. I pulled the blanket over the side of my face and pretended to still be asleep. It was the scariest feeling I've ever had. I knew it wasn't human, and I knew it wasn't the spirit of a 5-year-old. Whatever it was evil. When the feeling of being watched finally faded, I went and slept in my Nana's bed with her. I told my mom and she brushed it off. But years later, she admitted she knew there was something other than her little brother in that house, and that she didn't want to scare me when I was younger. I'll never know what any of these experiences really were.
Abducted in My Sleep by Jangles Dewark. My whole life, I've seen mental images in black and white, and I still do. 2 days ago, they started coming in full color and moving. When I closed my eyes, I was shown a live stream of information. It was like watching movies in my head. The images turned into a flow of information like having television when my eyes are closed. I would see faces that would contort and change, movie clips of different worlds, almost like a mixture of Western films and David Attenborough documentaries. I was asleep when they asked me yes or no. I said yes. They tucked my legs into the fetal position and moved my arm to put me in the position of a baby in my mother's arms. They rocked me gently, as if I were nothing but a child. We then took off like a roller coaster, in a fighter jet maneuver. It felt like a roller coaster, though. What I was shown was the universe. The flashing lights were consistent, almost like an airplane signals. It was dark. The stars were in the distance. The bright lights were flashing. Geometric shapes connected by interstellar highways. I was shown different worlds, vast landscapes similar to ours, but on a greater scale. Structures infinitely larger than anything on Earth. Interstellar space stations like you would see in the movies, but on an infinitely larger scale. There was some Death Star-looking thing that looked to have been a planet or maybe a black hole. I was shown different life forms, faces contorting and changing. It was like a news feed of information. This was all happening simultaneously. The entire time the stars were there, deep in the distance, the lights flashing. They showed me the lights in this projectile form, blinding white lights. It was all so beautiful. It was like a gift. After absorbing a bunch of information, they rocked me gently and I was sent home with the blinding lights off in the distance.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago, yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Any comments in the comment box today?
Yeah, on Spotify, Kenner Bartos said, in reference to last week's episode, it's important to note that absence amnesia is usually, not always, 10 to 15 seconds. It also takes 30 seconds on average to return to your baseline. So if the situation with the train stop happened to be a longer case of absence amnesia, it's very possible that everyone boarded the train and left unnoticed. They may have left without helping because they thought, oh boy, we've got another subway rider that's on bath salts.
Imagine Subway Surfers, but the main character you control is on bath salts.
Yeah. That game feels like bath salts.
Yeah.
Absence amnesia is also the second most common form of amnesia. Amnesia is a weird one. It's always a plot point in a TV show. You know, there's always an episode, regardless of what series it is, about somebody getting amnesia, and it just becomes like a placeholder episode.
And then you have Memento. Great movie.
Yeah. I actually watched this cool, like, little clip of Christopher Nolan trying to explain how that movie works, and he made this, like, paperclip shape, and he put these dots on both the top and bottoms, and he started drawing lines between them on how it changed back and forth. And I was like, damn, man, this guy makes movies like an equation. It was really complicated and interesting.
Nice.
Yeah, I love his movies. you know, regarding amnesia, that's one of those rare conditions that I've never met or known anybody that actually had it.
Me either. It's just something that kind of happens, but I don't know. You don't really meet people that say, like, oh yeah, my name is so-and-so. I have gout and amnesia. It's amnesia is not one of those things that's ever mentioned. Or maybe they forgot that they had it. Sorry, had to.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm looking up the percentage of people that get amnesia according to some Google AI crap, which I don't necessarily trust anymore. It's somewhere around like 0.2 to 7% of the population. So less than 1% of the entire population. So it's extremely rare. Or I guess the US population, but still, that's wild.
Hey, we have our issues.
Yeah, it's extremely rare. Almost as rare as somebody having the last name Berenstain.
Yeah, go figure, go figure.
Steinman family on Spotify referenced episode 210 and said, yep, no Steinmans here, just Steinman.
Nice.
You are right that it isn't a common name at all. Yeah, never heard Stain in a name. Yeah, I don't think that I have either. We did have another person actually bring this up. This is going to be an ongoing thing. We're going to get a comment about Berenstain Bears or Mandela Effect every episode. But Randa said, Sinisterhood, the podcast, we're friends with them. Love those guys. Did a Mandela Effect episode a few years ago. Apparently, a national magazine featured the books, the Berenstain Bears, when they first gained popularity, and they misspelled the name. I agree, most Americans are more familiar with Stein than Stain, having different first and last names. It really seems like most people look at the first and last letters and make up the rest. I think that helps explain this mystery, at least. Fangirling, you read my comment and you got my name right.
Twice now.
Yeah, I hope I said it right the second time.
Right, yeah.
But that's how my brain works. It likes to change names. I think that's how all of our brains work, according to this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we've got a misspelling in a popular magazine, and then we've also got somebody claiming that the audiobooks pronounce it Steen. So that's two possible, which I need to see the proof. I need to see the magazines, and I also need to hear the audio book. I still haven't been able to find one. But apparently there is some evidence as to why we think it's Stain. And I think it's probably because Stain, just like we said, doesn't sound like a name. We've never met a Stain.
I definitely think it's a more logical explanation.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think a lot of those Mandela effects can be explained logically. One last comment here from Annie. Referencing episode 203, That Black Dog, it made me think of Supernatural. It's supposed to be the entity that comes to take your soul when it's time to cash on the contract that you've made with the devil. I've heard that as well in certain tales. I always liked those deal with the devil stories in books and movies and stuff. There's something so daunting and creepy about that. I like it.
Not me. No thanks.
Yeah, I ain't making the deal with no evil spirits. I don't care what they are.
Did I tell the story about when I kind of tried to as a kid? I was like 14 or something, had a horrible bully problem, like singular bully. And there was one dark moment I like sat down and I hate to say the word pray, but I tried speaking to the devil himself and I was just overcome with the most dark, depressing, haunted, looming sensation I've ever felt in my life. And I immediately was like, oh, nope, nope, never mind, never mind. And closed out. It was insane. Like, I wasn't even really saying anything. I think I got as far as saying, like, in my head, like, devil, like, really sincerely trying to communicate.
Not even calling him by name, just, devil.
No. Yeah, just whoever you are, anything opposite of light, if you're listening. And,
yeah.
Ooh, boy. Yeah, no, like, I'm getting chills thinking about that. Never again.
That's so funny to me because I was raised in such a devoutly Christian, strict household. I vehemently believed in Satan. And I actually had one of those moments too when I was like a young teen, maybe 13, you know? And I did the same thing. I said, Satan, if you're real, I sell my soul to you. I don't believe in God anymore. I hate this. And that's kind of when my like because I went through a hardcore atheist phase when I moved out and left the church as a later teen. But what's funny about that is because I lived in such a extremely religious household, you'd think that I would have the same experience, but nothing happened. I didn't feel anything. I just kind of laughed afterwards. I was like, that was stupid. I don't know.
Wow. That was God just saying good riddance.
Yeah, he's like, all right, fine.
Don't need you anyway.
Yeah, it's so funny. Okay, let's get into some stories here. Where do we want to start?
Great question. I'm just going to jump in and say me first with this Helltown story from Aaron.
Sure.
So those images on the back of the Catholic icon, at first you might want to think, okay, that could just be a coincidence.
Yeah.
We never know where they got that icon from. Was it from Catholic.com? I don't know. It could have been something thrifted or passed down or obtained.
Catholic.com. I love that. You know what? That makes me laugh because it reminds me of when my dad would in the address bar of like Internet Explorer way back in the day, would just type whatever he wanted, .com. Like that was how the internet worked. He'd be like, classic cars that are also convertibles, .com.
And funnily enough, that's kind of where we've been with so many domains being taken. You got to get creative now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that if they did somehow obtain that Catholic icon from a non-Catholic.com official source,
yeah,
maybe whoever donated or provided it tried putting a hex on it, and that was the intent behind it.
Yeah.
Because we see a lot of religious objects being altered or corrupted in some sort of demonic type of lore situation. So that could be an explanation for it.
Yeah, haunted objects kind of falls in that same category, and we get a lot of those in stories. Plenty of haunted objects, and why not a hexed object?
Why not?
Kind of the same thing. I agree, yeah. It coincides with too much activity.
It really does. And it's interesting when moving away is enough to stop that activity,
mm-hmm.
and it seems like it happens more often than not when just moving away can get rid of it all. But it's, I guess, reassuring that more hauntings are tied to places and objects rather than people, like possessions or curses.
Mm-mm.
Although in this story, a lot of bad things did happen to the family outside of the house before they moved to Ohio.
Yeah.
The parents divorcing, the drinking problem,
mm-hmm.
the business going under. That's not good.
Yeah. When it rains, it pours, and that can definitely have an effect for sure.
Mm-hmm. It is kind of comforting, though, being in the presence of a skeptic in some way. Whether it's real or not, it offers some reassurance by that skeptical person that, hey, maybe this stuff isn't really happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a peace of mind. There's a chance that it's not actually happening.
I always wonder about the authors, how they feel when we do sometimes, rarely, get skeptical and try to come up with logical conclusions to their experiences, because there are so many different types of people. I know there are going to be authors that are like, well, you're invalidating my experience by trying to prove it wrong. But then there are also going to be people that are like, thank God this can be explained, because the last thing I wanted was, you know, for this to be a haunting or something terrible that I just don't know how to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
I always get a little nervous when being skeptical, but you have to.
Yeah, you don't always want to be a yes man for everything, but it's fair. Fair discourse.
Yeah, we've got, what, 3-4 years of being yes men to the supernatural? Forget how long it's been.
Yeah, we can throw in the occasional, actually, maybe, have you considered?
Yeah, yeah. And speaking on that, I kind of want to talk about that story where the author claimed to be abducted in their sleep by those beings that held him like a baby.
Mm-hmm.
This, I feel like, could be explained away as hypnagogic or hypnopompic. I think that's what it's also called.
Mm-hmm.
Imagery, you know, when you're starting to kind of fall asleep and you're on the edge of sleep and you start kind of visualizing, you can see things. I often find myself when I'm like extremely tired and I'm trying to fall asleep, but you're almost too tired to fall asleep, I start like seeing faces and they start morphing to like monstrous looking things. Like my brain's just creating these weird images and they're super vivid. Do you ever experience anything like that?
All the time, like every night.
Okay. Yeah. I think they may have just had a very intense version of that, but they seem to be changed by it. They seem to feel like they were shown like all these different worlds and different races of beings, and good on them for that. That very well may be what happened. They may have had some kind of out-of-body experience and interfaced with other beings. But the way they described it, specifically the morphing faces into different beings, that specifically I have seen so many times. That's like a common recurring thing for me when I'm falling asleep, basically.
I see the faces too, but it's like the face, I think it's the wall, Pink Floyd, you know that face?
Yeah.
Mouth wide open. I see a lot of that, just lots of mouths opening up and hands and fingers kind of waving in front of my face.
Mm, yeah.
And I say see, but it's more like a third eye
yeah.
vision type of thing, but it's detailed.
And that's the thing about it. It's so detailed and it's vivid. It's more vivid than, you know, using your imagination and kind of daydreaming, you know what I mean? Closing your eyes and daydreaming.
Right.
It's like, oh, wow, this is actually in front of me. It's like, it's all, you know what? It's perfect. The perfect description, I think, is VR. It feels like you're in VR because it's there, but you know it's not really there. It's so vivid.
It's very much your imagination playing you rather than you tapping in your imagination.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what I like about VR the most is that it feels like dreams feel. Like, you know you're there, mm-hmm. but it's not quite real, but your brain's still buying it. It still believes it. It's cool.
It is. It is.
Yeah, but that was a cool story. I like to think that because there's so much more to it, it could have been a spiritual or out-of-body type experience, but very cool nonetheless.
Very, very cool. Well, I guess speaking of seeing things, it makes sense to move on to the apparition story submitted by Val.
Is this the same Val as all our previous stories? Or like, was this an email?
It might be, but I didn't confirm the email address, so who knows? Let's just pretend that it is, just to shake things up a bit.
Yeah, because we've had like two or three stories by an author named Val that were emailed to us, so we'll see.
Yep. I mainly want to discuss the doppelganger that she saw of her father.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The behavior itself seemed to be more deliberate and personal rather than something that I guess would be more chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it copied a person known to her, a close person, makes it a lot more disturbing than like your average shadow figure.
Yeah.
And if it were just a shadowy demonic figure or even Hat Man, we might want to assume that it's sleep paralysis. But no, this kind of crosses into mimic territory or any other sort of entities that can imitate loved ones. But the question is why?
Yeah, and the silently crawling under the bed, it's super creepy because it reminds me of the way my imagination ran away from me when I was a child. I told you about how I had that image or experience where I walked by my parents' room and I saw like the hag in there.
But yeah, yeah.
They were just mundanely standing there and just looked surprised. It wasn't like they were doing anything scary. It was something mundane. And that's what really scared me about it. And regardless of what it really was, we'll leave that in the past. But mundane things, when an apparition does something like that, that is creepier to me. Like just something random, like crawling under the bed.
Yeah.
You know, silently. That's way creepier than standing in the corner and going, boo, you know?
100%. I think it's just the matter of, well, speaking of boo, it's kind of like playing peekaboo. You cover your face and then the little child is in anticipation for the face that you're going to make back.
Yeah, yeah.
Crawling under the bed is like an advanced version of peekaboo.
Yeah, it is, because it's such a childlike thing. It's the monster under the bed. Yeah.
Yeah. I like how she instinctively called out for both parents because she knew it was her dad who walked in,
mm-hmm.
but also that it couldn't be her dad. And then they ran in way too quickly for it just to be a prank. Yeah, takes things from fear to panic. All too real.
Mm-hmm.
And what else? The little girl that she saw near the railroad tracks. We like the word liminal, so that's a bit fitting here.
Yeah.
The isolated land and unused tracks, the girl being silent.
Yeah.
And I don't know how far their property line goes, but I don't know. I feel like maybe, just maybe, ghosts don't respect a county surveyor's property line.
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the house could be haunted, yeah, but that doesn't really explain something happening way out by the railroad tracks, unless, they did say that it was in the backyard, but I don't know. They might extend past a little bit.
Yeah, it makes me wonder if they're not experiencing like a haunted house thing, but it's more of a personal haunting or some
maybe some
kind of trauma or something that they're dealing with. Yeah. This was a really, really, really scary story. Just unnerving and disturbing to me.
It was. Yeah. It was. I also think that you should probably tell your kids, be more transparent. Not official parenting advice, but think of it like Santa and Christmas. I had a great Christmas as a child. All the Christmases were wonderful. I don't feel any resentment or any sort of trust issues with my parents when I found out the truth. So maybe just if something's happening and your kids express it to you, you could say that the universe is a mysterious place and there could be spiritual energy that likes to say hello sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's scary because we don't always understand it, but I wouldn't just outright deny any of it.
I agree. Yeah, and it makes them scared to ever bring it up again to anyone else. Yeah.
Right.
The last one that I actually wanted to talk about was this. You probably thought the same thing that I did when you read this one, the weird lights across the street. Did you think of Home Alone as well?
Of course. Of course. And now. It's like timing the lights going on. Yeah.
Exactly. And then, but not only that, but like when Kevin sets up the cutouts or the mannequins to move around with the lights on and the music and stuff, that's almost exactly what was happening in the old lady's house. Because nobody lived there besides her, and the author seems to think that nobody ever went over there. It was just this old lady, and then at the same time every night, there would be multiple people in the house moving around like shadows, almost at the same exact time in the same exact directions. Why would this woman rig up a Home Alone setup? Maybe she maybe she really did like Home Alone, and she's like, that sounds like a great idea to keep robbers away. And she set up this elaborate thing where she basically mimicked Home Alone.
Could be just a decorative choice, and we just don't get it. Could be some avant-garde display of, I don't know.
Yeah, but it's also creepy because they said that the old lady would just stand there staring out the window every night, 1:50, whatever, or 1:30 in the morning, while this whole thing happened, unmoving, just staring.
That's the snow shoveling guy from Home Alone right there. It all ties in.
Yeah. This one was cool because, you know, our obsession with Home Alone, it's dead on. It's dead on.
It is.
Well, anyways, if y'all have some stories, make sure you send them in to stories@oddtrails.com. And if you want to get ad-free versions of the episodes, go to patreon.com/oddtrails to sign up and support the show today. And check out the new episodes of my other podcasts like Let's Not Meet and the Old Time Radio Cast. See you next week, everybody. Stay safe.
Peace out.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Terms and conditions apply.